Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel speaking to the media, getting ready for their practice in the bubble and getting ready for their next opponent, the Cincinnati Bengals. And this is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Here's the head coach.
Worked through the week, getting guys back, trying to get them healthy, improving, all those types of things. And then obviously getting ready for an opponent that's skilled, that's played, you know, 6-1 score games. You know, they've been, you know, in every game, they got off to a fantastic start against the Colts and scoring a bunch of points.
John.
Hey, Mike, I think it's been 16 regular season games for Ryan Tannehill now. And of course, the incredible numbers that he's put up, given that he was initially brought here to be a backup, you know, is there anything that qualifies to you as maybe a pleasant surprise that he has put up the kind of numbers that he has in that time?
Just trying to get ready to beat the Bengals. You know, I haven't really given him much thought about, you know, pleasant surprise. I think that he's our starting quarterback, and we got a lot of confidence in him, a lot of trust, and he's, you know, one of those guys that continues to improve and try to get better and continue to work within the offense.
One more for you on the wide receiver front. Or on the receiver front anyway. Two of your guys, AJ and Janu, always put up good yards after the catch numbers. Aside from what they do after the catch, is there anything they do, you know, kind of before the catch that might help explain those kind of numbers?
I mean, I think that they just have really good play strength. They're strong players. I think that they, you know, they have a skill set that they're, you know, they're powerful players that they can run. They're good with contact. Usually it's hard to bring those guys down when they're on the move.
Thanks.
Jim?
Mike, what is the practice week like after a loss compared to after a win, or at least what do you hope it's like?
I hope it would be the same thing. You know, focus on first and second down, ball disruption, ball security, individual. You know, that's – you know, that's what you try to do each and every week after a win or a loss. You try to make the corrections and continue to try to get better and, you know, figure out who you have, who you're going to have for the game, and, you know, what you need to stop on the other side of the ball.
And I want to ask you one about, I guess, about Clowney and Beasley as well. It seemed like they showed up maybe more than in previous weeks as far as, you know, making some plays here and there. Do you like the progress that each of those guys is making as they get closer to getting a sack?
We all have to get better, Jim. You know, we lost, and, you know, we're not where we need to be, certainly defensively and on third down. So, you know, we all have to get better.
Trump?
Yeah, Coach, what would you say is the most significant attribute that Ryan Tannehill brings to the table for you guys?
You know, I think that he has a toughness about him. I think that, you know, I don't know if there's just one, but, you know, I like his toughness. I like his, you know, his decisiveness, you know, so.
And then what would you say is the biggest reason why there's such a trust in him when things get tough? There's such a trust that he's going to lead you guys back to, you know, a win.
I think we've proven that we could do that. We've done that. I think that's how you build trust, is by, you know, repeated experiences of having some faith and some confidence in what you're trying to do.
Paul?
Mike, a lot of anticipation for Adoree's return. Any concern that your defense, particularly the third down defense, thinks that once he's back on the field, he might be a cure-all and the guy that's going to come in and fix things? Do you have to guard against that?
I hope not. I don't know if any of us are smart enough to think that way. One guy is not going to make a difference. He's going to help it. I'd like to get everybody back that we could possibly get back, and see where Adoree is this week. We'll practice and see how he feels and see how he responds.
You feel like the corners offer a lot of free releases, and how do free releases kind of fit with your overall desire not to give up chunk plays, which is something the defense has done well since you've been around?
Well, there's a lot of different techniques and a lot of different coverages that you can play. Some, would allow for, disruption at the line, and, sometimes you'll press and sometimes you'll play off, and, so we're going to try to continue to mix coverages and see how that does. And obviously to not give up big plays in this league is going to help you, but I think that there's always a time that you have to challenge and compete and be able to, be disruptive. And again, we started to get our hands on some footballs the other day, which was positive. So hopefully we can continue down that direction.
Terry?
Mike, Kevin Byard's always been kind of a ball hawk safety, a guy that gets a lot of hands on a lot of footballs, makes interceptions. Do you find that maybe teams are starting to throw away from him when they can this year? I think he only has like one pick.
If you can throw away from the middle of the field safety, Terry, let me know how. I guess just pick one side. Just don't throw it down the middle. I don't know. I've never really thought of it like that or looked at it like that. I'm just trying to coach where the guys are, what they do. Kevin's a lot of different places. So, sometimes he's in the middle, sometimes he's down. So, he's at different places at different times.
Jared?
Yeah, Mike, on the corners front, when you're playing without your speed guys at the corner position, how does that change how you coach the whole defense, especially going up the receiver against the receivers you guys have gone up against the last couple of weeks and the caliber of receivers that you're going to go up against this week?
Yeah, they're very good skill players. Boyd is a player that, I've really known since college. We looked at him coming out in the Pittsburgh area, and he's really developed nice into a really, really good pro, really good receiver, versatility. They've got good size with Green, Higgins. So I think that, as far as, our cornerbacks, we're trying to get prepared for this week's opponent, not the Steelers anymore, or not where we were against the Bills, but focused on these guys and what they bring and their, how they play down the field. They're physical. They're big targets. Higgins is certainly developing into somebody that the quarterback likes down the field, and we know what AJ Green can do.
But does the speed of those receivers, does that change kind of how you can coach it when you don't have your speed guys out there?
Well, I think everybody's speed is, what their play speed is different. I don't know. I don't really know where, Adoree's working his way back, and some guys are been in and out of there, and, we've played a bunch of different guys back there. So, we'll try to figure out what gives us the best chance each and every week and try to continue to do a little better job of it.
Buck?
Hey, Coach, I know the record doesn't reflect it, but it looks like Zach Taylor's done a really good job making Burrow comfortable and kind of doing things that he has done well since college. What kind of stands out about how they're playing, and particularly the quarterback?
Well, I think that he's given them some options. I think they go on the ball. They give them some different plays. They've been in empty. They will spread you out, give the quarterback a chance to, maybe see the picture. And he can scramble, he can run, third and 11. The other day, he checked to a quarterback draw and empty on third and 11, got it, You know, at the end of the game, they got to have it situation. So they have a lot of confidence in his ability to run with the football and get out of tough spots in the pocket. You know, he seems to be able to keep his eyes downfield, even when he's on the move. So, you know, I think that they're comfortable with where he's at in his development, and they're throwing for a bunch of yards.
Steve Lehman.
Hey, Mike, it appears around the league looking at stats that offensive numbers are significantly up through the first 7 weeks of the season. I think points are a couple hundred points around the league over what they've been over any of the last several years. Is there anything you see in terms of a trend or just the way games are being played this year that would maybe explain some of that?
I don't think they're calling holding as much. I mean, maybe penalties are down. I mean, it looks like they're letting guys play, you know, for the most part. I don't know what numbers are OPI, but I think that those are all numbers that probably would reflect in more points. Sometimes they think it's a push off down the field. Sometimes they don't. I don't know.
Do you think the weirdness of the off season would mean that offenses were ahead early versus defenses, or do you think that's just total happenstance?
I don't think there's any correlation in that. Probably had to play better. Everybody ought to play better defense starting with us.
Eric.
Hey, Mike.
There you go. That is Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, and that's brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. So there is some news to report. The opponent for the Titans, Cincinnati, has just struck a deal with Seattle. We'll tell you about that on the other side. The guy we talked about yesterday down in Dallas, Everson Griffin, there was also a deal struck after we got off the airwaves yesterday, and he was sent packing. We'll tell you where. Obviously, I think we know they weren't, at least the second one wasn't to Nashville and to the Titans. But we'll come back and discuss some things you heard and some trades that have happened in the NFL on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game.
Here we're on to Cincinnati.
Our NFL game of the week will be this Sunday right here on ESPN 102.5, the game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. The matchup will be an NFC West matchup, which is a really good division. That's just in. 49ers and Seahawks. Coverage will begin at 3 p.m. Kickoff at 3:25. So we talked about Everson Griffin yesterday, and Dallas was looking to move him. Well, they found a home, went from Big D down south to whatever, I guess we'll call it the Motor City. I was trying to think of something clever up there. I don't know, are they little D? But he gets traded to the Detroit Lions, which, you know, I don't know how much better that is for Everson Griffin, but a conditional sixth-round pick, which is interesting because it was thrown out on the show yesterday and we discussed it, somewhere between a 5 and a 7. Would you do it? Well, he goes for a conditional sixth-round pick. What did you make of that?
I don't know. We talked about it yesterday. We were saying that that's right around what I think the Titans should be willing to give up. If that's what it takes to add a guy to your rotation that could help your pass rush, that should be the type of guy you're looking for, especially a guy on a one-year deal that, you know, wouldn't cost you a whole lot. If it didn't work out, you just, you know, you move on. So I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't the right fit. Maybe they weren't willing to offer what the Lions offered. I don't know, but that's it's interesting. And then, of course, we just had the other trade that you referred to going into the break, and Carlos Dunlap, you know, as they're talking about the Bengals, the Carlos Dunlap story has been very intriguing from the Bengals. And imagine this, a guy not happy with how the Bengals are going and wants out. We've heard that kind of story
before. Well,
he's
been there his whole career, so he's been there a long time.
Yeah.
11 years, but they have traded him to Seattle, which Seattle has been like rumored to land everybody, and they had landed nobody to this point other than now they've gotten Carlos Dunlap in exchange for draft picks and compensation. I haven't seen exactly what any of that is, the details on that, but I guess this is stemming from the meltdown at the end of the game against the Browns on Sunday. I guess he got into a screaming match with the defensive coordinator of the Bengals when the Browns scored the game-winning touchdown.
Yes.
And I guess had to be broken up by players and coaches on the team.
Yes, but that's not where it started. It had been going on for weeks. He hadn't been happy. He actually posted something on Instagram about where he was in the rotation during the week, expressing he's just been begging to get out of there and trying to start fires all over the place. I was reading the Athletic's take on it, their beat writer, and he said he went full napalm. Like he's just destroyed the relationship. He wanted out of there so desperately. So he kind of forced their hand. So I don't know if that means he'll get back into line. He'll be thrilled to be somewhere else, and he'll go back to being a productive pass rusher, which he has been, right? I mean, year in and year out, if you look at the stacks, he's pretty consistent. 9, 8, 7.5, 8, 13.5, way back in 2015. It doesn't seem to be the type of guy that the Titans are interested in, and I don't know if he fits their scheme either, but you know, until the trade deadline, I do think it's a fair question to ask. Is there somebody out there that helps the Titans for the right price?
I'm telling you, I'm sticking to my guns on this. They're not making a move.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if they don't.
I think they stand pat. And I'm not saying I agree with that. There's certainly, I mean, some of these players that just got dealt that we're talking about, I think could help this team. But I think that John Robinson has always been one of those that he builds the roster, and this is the roster he started the season with. And outside of, you know, moving some guys here and there, the practice squad and some free agency signings, I mean, this is what it's going to be. He doesn't want to give up the assets to get one of these guys back. And with the salary cap things that we talked about yesterday and have continued to talk about, I don't necessarily blame him. You want to keep those draft picks. You don't want to give up that draft capital because they're going to need it to try and fill out some spots on the roster, because there are some guys that are going to be free agents that they would like to re-sign. Jayon Brown being at the top of the list, in my opinion, Jonnu Smith. So I don't think they want to move some of that so they can fill the other spots with draft picks.
Are there more teams? I know that the deadline has been pushed back until after week 8, right? So as Floyd pointed out last week.
See, I thought it was always week 8.
No, I think it's been moved back, I think, 2 weeks after it normally is. So you have more teams that might fall into the category of, hey, we're not going anywhere this year. And you've got the Trevor Lawrence thing. So you have an 0-7 Jets. You have five teams that only have one win right now. That seems to be more than normal. And then some other teams that, let's be honest, if you're sitting there at 2-5 or even 2-4, like the Broncos, for example, are you really going anywhere? Dallas at 2-5. Now, that's a unique situation, that whole division. We know it's not going to take much to win that. But my point would be, are there more people out there that a team is willing to say, hey, throw us a draft pick, make us an offer, we're not going anywhere. If there's a guy you like, hey, we'll take your 7th-round pick, and maybe this guy helps you. I would think that the circumstances are a little higher than they have been in past years for that reason. But, Darren, you made a good point yesterday. There's the protocols. You know, when you switch addresses, you got to acclimate and you got to make sure, you know, I don't know how much that complicates things.
When you think about the Bengals' defense over the years, Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins are the guys you think of. I mean, those two guys have been really good on the defensive side of the ball. I was looking at their snap counts for the game Sunday against the Browns. They both played the same amount of snaps. Care to guess?
Yeah,
Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap.
But Atkins was hurt. That was why he didn't play as many. I think it was like 12 snaps or something.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, they're playing 12 snaps each.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Zach Taylor said that very completely different situations. I think.
I'm just saying it's straight. You know, those two right there have been with them forever. And those are the guys you identify, and, you know, well, it's clearly, like you said, this is stemming back for several weeks. The Carlos Dunlap thing has been brewing. Look, players in sports have figured out how to get out of their situations. It's real easy. The days of just sticking around and dealing with it are over. This is all sports. players have platforms. They have social media. That is their platform every single day, every single minute, and they can use it. And just like Carlos Dunlap did and went to social media and told everybody, hey, I've been demoted, you know, they don't love me anymore, they don't like me, you know, and that's what players do. And then they know they can force their way out. And more times than not, in fact, most cases today, depending on how aggressive you are with being outspoken and going to social media and what have you, you're usually gone pretty quick. So they've figured out, like, okay, the days of you making me sit here and stew over it or putting me in a corner and, you know, barely playing me or not playing me, I'll get my way. I'll get out. And that's clearly what Carlos Dunlap did, what a lot of other athletes have done.
Now, you know, it's interesting, too, that
it does work.
Well,
it does.
It can work. There have been times where Mike Brown has drawn the line in the sand and just sat on a guy, right, and just said, you're ours, you're not going anywhere. Carson Palmer, right?
Yes.
He sat there for – he made him retire, basically, before he eventually traded him. But he has not been in the past afraid to have a standoff. But here – he wheels and deals, and he must have liked the deal that Seattle offered him, because otherwise I think history has shown that he would have waited it out. But that is going to send a signal maybe to some people saying, hey, it worked for Dunlap, it worked for Ngakoue, you know, it worked for Jalen Ramsey. Just complain and show up late and just start, you know, pouring gasoline on the fire, and they won't have any choice. They'll have to get rid of you. But what does that mean for the team that's trading for a person like that? Are they that confident he's going to fall into line, or will similar things happen?
You know,
Antonio Bryant's another one, right?
Brown?
Antonio Brown's another one, right?
Or yeah. Bryant, whichever.
Well, I mean, they're both wide receivers. By the way, a little bit more significance to what you were just talking about. Listen to this. This is amazing. This trade right here is only the second time in Bengals franchise history that they have had a in-season trade.
Wow.
Second time only. Wow. Do you know the other one?
Carson Palmer. Carson.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. That is the only time they have dealt players mid-season. Carson Palmer in 2012 to the Raiders and this one.
Wow.
How about that? Just to prove your point about the standoff?
Yeah.
I think that probably drives it home a little bit more, doesn't it?
Yeah. So all that brings us back to, you know, who what's the trade market like? How interested are the Titans? And also, what are you getting now, you know, with this Bengals team? They have, to their credit, they're 1-5-1, but they have been close in a lot of the games. They've had leads in a lot of the games. But statistically, it looks like it's a little bit of a stretch. I think there's some really good matchups for the Titans here, and it all starts with the pass rush, right? That has been a huge weakness. Like, this is the something's got to give. The Titans have arguably the worst pass rush in the league, and the Bengals have arguably the worst pass protection in the league. So what are we going to see on Sunday?
I think probably a lot of it is just young quarterback, in my opinion.
But he's been getting great marks, right?
No, I understand, but he's also got to learn, you know, pick up blitzes and pick up schemes and defenses at this level. And rookies tend to, you know, they tend to get sacked a lot. They tend to get picked off a lot until they settle in.
It's not very good.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's what I'm hearing a lot. Now, Rocky Boyman will be the next guy we get to ask this, but Hushman Zada was saying, he gives high marks to Burrow. He said, that guy is getting pounded every week. They lost three offensive linemen during the game against the Browns. And at least one of them will not be back. And they were giving up a ton of heat before those guys even got hurt. So they have got a paper-thin offensive line. So if there's ever a game that you're going to see a breakout from the Titans' defensive front, this should be it. But, man, it would be pretty alarming if they can't get heat on the quarterback in this game.
So what if they do? What if this is the breakout game for the pass rush?
Or more importantly, what if it isn't? What if they get zero sacks again?
Well, okay, so we can take it
both
ways.
Let's play both sides.
Let's play,
right?
Okay, that's fine. Let's play both sides.
What if they have four sacks or what if they have no sacks? Is it four sacks you go, well, it's the Bengals? Or do you say, okay, maybe this is the start of something? What do you think people will have the attitude on Monday?
Well, how many times do you see, you know, if a team that's struggling, they break through and they beat the bad team, but it's that, we can do it. It's that confidence build. I mean, not to say, you know, because Jadeveon Clowney, who knows? Maybe right now his confidence is a little shook up because he's getting close, but he's not getting there all the way. So if he breaks through for, even if it's just one, you know, it's like how many times in hockey with Philip Forsberg have we talked about breaking through and scoring that first goal, and when he does, they just come in bunches.
Oh, yeah. You know there's a weight. It's like there's a big sign over your head, zero goals, just like zero sacks, I'm sure. For some players, I think they're able to put it aside better than others, but for some players, I think I would fall into this category if I were in a slump, like if I were 0 for my last 12.
You think about it.
It would weigh on me. It definitely would. So a broken bat hit helps your confidence. So any kind of sack. So I think confidence is the answer to both questions,
right,
Darren. I think that the confidence level really sinks if they don't get much done in this game. And the other problem is if you don't, then Joe Burrow and those young receivers, they have been good. Even with the pressure, they're getting a certain amount of production.
Yeah, and I think to your point, Darren, I mean, who knows? Because right now I would imagine, you know, there is some thought. There may not be talk in the locker room, but there's thought of, okay, guys, this is the week. We've had some tough opponents, or we had a tough opponent last week in Pittsburgh, but this is the week. We're gonna get to the quarterback. It's gonna happen. It's the Bengals. And then if they don't, then yeah, I think it makes it even worse because it's like we can't even get to Joe Burrow with that line and a rookie quarterback. We can't even bring him down.
So, does it force the talk on Monday in a win? Forget the loss part because the loss will accelerate. Even in a win, zero sacks, does it, going into the trade deadline week, does it get heavy discussion here about John Robinson's got to make a trade? He's got to find somebody?
Yeah, because I think some of that's already there.
I think it would be natural.
Well, would it, that's what I'm getting at. Does it go to a new level if they get nothing against the Bengals?
Yeah, but I still don't. He just doesn't strike me as the type during the season. Now, we know he's made some moves. I mean, the first move he made here was a blockbuster trade. I get that. But he just doesn't strike me as one that's going to do that midseason simply because he knows how important that draft capital is going to be. And I can't really think of – I know he just traded Kamale Correa, but he got a pick back. I can't really think of a roster player he would give up in some sort of deal.
See, now that I think that's a really good one, though, the Correa trade. That extra pick, is that something you're just kind of holding in your hand going, this is the pick I'd be willing to flop to see if I could get somebody better than Correa? I mean, that would seem – because then you're not really giving away anything. You still have your regular sixth pick. To me, that's the one that you wheel and deal. That's a great example of what you could do. But what can you get for that sixth pick? Like, obviously you don't want Correa, but who's a fit? Who's an upgrade? And is there a defensive back that would be worth that
pick? Looks like the Bengals got an offensive lineman from Seattle. And
which they needed badly.
Right, which is what we were just talking about. That's why I just brought it up. Looks like it looks BJ, what was his name? Looks like they get an offensive lineman and draft compensation. Still haven't figured out what that draft compensation is. But there you go, because I've been ravished on the offensive line. So they get an offensive lineman, and it looks like they'll get a draft pick, and that's why you make the deal. But I don't know. I don't know who's out there. I mean, when you start talking about sixth-round pick, okay, Everson Griffin just went for a sixth-round pick. We're going to find out what this draft pick was for Carlos Dunlap, but how many other guys are out there that you know are worthy of coming in here and, as you said, being an upgrade from Correa and actually providing something? I don't know.
I can't really – it's hard to say.
It's just, you know.
Floyd said it. Good players don't get traded. I mean, there has to be a reason that you're trading away a good player.
Is he saying Stephon Gilmore won't get traded?
Well, I mean, maybe. But I don't – I mean, he hadn't been traded yet. So, I mean –
well, good players do get traded. I mean, the league has proven – Randy Moss got traded from the Raiders to the Patriots.
But there's usually a circumstance around
that.
Sure,
of course. Well, yeah.
You're not going to just trade, like, everything
– right,
you know,
everything's rosy.
Right.
And, right.
Well, that's the kind of guy
that
you can
get. We're going to trade Derrick Henry.
We love him, but we just decided, you know, let's just trade him.
There's usually some baggage that you get. There's a
risk.
There's
something attached, yes.
With the talent. And so what are you looking for there? Are you willing to take somebody like that that's got some baggage? They signed the two guys, arguably, that had a little baggage, right, with work ethic issues, injury issues, Clowney and Beasley, and it hadn't worked out yet.
What have we been talking about today? Or this season, not today. This season.
Exactly. So how much more can you invest?
Eli Apple was just released. How many times is Eli Apple going to get released?
I forgot he was still in the league. Like, he's one of those.
Looks like the Utah – let's see if I can stump Elijah. He's probably seen it, though. What do you think the Utah Jazz are about to sell for?
$1.6 billion.
There you go. Boom. The Utah Jazz, $1.6 billion.
Man. Yeah, I was going to tell you guys after the show, but I did not buy the Jazz.
And that's why people want to own professional sports franchises. Man. Salt Lake City, $1.6 billion.
The guy probably thinks he got a bargain.
Probably.
But that's what players and players associations say when the owners say, well, we can't, you know, we're not bringing in any revenue, so I don't know how we're going to pay the players. That's usually the first thing you hear agents and players say. Well, look at the value of these franchises. It's huge. So you are going to lose money in the short term, but the value of these franchises are such that it's just, you know, you got to keep investing. You'll come out ahead.
If you had that kind of money, would you buy a franchise? Like a major, I'm talking, you know,
well, the
NBA,
the Mets are about to be sold to a hedge fund guy that has been a lifelong Mets fan, right? And hopefully that'll be an upgrade for my team, but
yeah,
he's been.
Well, I mean, the Predators ownership group, that's what they were.
The local people, yeah, local businessmen.
See, I think I'd like to do that. I'd if I had like that kind of money, I would invest in like a group.
You had that kind of money, you would not. You would just do it on your own. Why would you want to do it in a group if you had that kind of money?
Well, that's true, because I could afford
it. Is it one guy for the Jazz?
And then be like,
yes.
you do it. Yeah. I don't want to worry
about
the
Jazz guy?
Stuff.
Is it a Utah person?
Is it a Jazzy guy?
Oh, is it a Utah? Does he like Jazz?
Come on, Darren.
But no, is he a local person?
Not really. I don't know anything about him.
I don't either. Because there are some people that – they don't care what city it's in. They just want a team, even if they're not from there.
Yeah. Well, the Haslams. Isn't that what the Haslams did?
With the Browns?
Ryan Smith is his name.
Sure.
Brian Smith?
Yep.
In relation to Joseph Smith?
Founder of Qualtrics?
Again, sure.
Got nothing for you.
Sounds like a local guy. He's a BYU alum. Okay. So sounds like he's probably from out there.
So possibly related to Joseph Smith is what you're saying.
Clearly he's
Could
got
be.
Lots of dough is what I'm saying. Speaking of another guy, okay. So the Falcons supposedly are saying that they will shop their defensive end to Takaris McKinley before the deadline.
I just think there might be more
sellers.
He was
a former first-round pick. He's a guy that's obviously underachieved this year. Last year, he only had 3.5 sacks. This year, he's got 1 sack and 8 total stops in 4 games. And he's been hurt a lot. So probably not a guy they're looking for. because the production doesn't match what I guess his contract next year would come at a rate of about $10
million. Wow. I do think there will be sellers more so than past years because of the fact that there's more teams out of it. It is 2020, and
but when you think
the trade deadline is pushed back. I think there's more people shopping. It doesn't mean that people will actually pull the trigger for a trade, but I just think there's more options out there if you did want to make a trade. That's just a theory. I have nothing. I'm just giving you my reasoning for it. I can't prove it, though.
So there's another guy. I mean, he's a defensive end, so former first-round pick, but sounds like a guy that's been underachieving with the Falcons.
Which is why he's
Honk, if
on
you've
the,
heard that before.
Yeah, that's why he's on the block.
Yep. All right, we'll come back and wrap up the second hour. Don't forget Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him coming up at high noon. You are listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Saturday, our college football game of the week will be heard on ESPN 94.9. That's presented by Gary Force Acura, and it'll be LSU and Auburn. Battle of the Tigers. Kickoff is at 2:30, once again, on ESPN 94.9. If we ask people, and we talked about this with Vince on Monday, and it's obviously been a pretty hot topic. If we asked Vols fans what they would like to see, remember we had... And I forgot his name. He called in for This Is What I Know, and he just said, it was because it's right before Vince. You know what? I was at the game on Saturday. I'm done. I don't care. Just figure out who's the next guy for Garantano, and whatever happens, happens. But let's just figure out who it is. In other words, just put anybody in there. I don't
anybody.
Care at this point.
Right.
Anybody. Just let's see somebody else. Let's see what they offer. And let's see if there's anybody on this roster that is set to take over for the future. Is the guy the next guy up? The next guy that can change this. Like they're just kind of done with it.
Which I guess everybody tends to point towards Harrison Bailey.
I would say they should, because the other two guys, we've seen them. Trout and Maurer, they're just not very good. They've tried, right? They've tried to replace Garantano. And they can't because those guys are better than him. So what do you think Tennessee fans would say? Where do you think they are today with all this now that they've dropped three in a row?
Well, let's look at the challenge ahead, though, okay? And because I do think you're very right that caller is not the only caller that would call in and say, I just got to try somebody else. Please just show me somebody else. I've had enough. We had a great conversation about this with Vince on Monday, and I heard Floyd and – Trevor Maddich go back and forth on this yesterday. They had sort of differing views. Floyd looked at it a little bit more like a GM would look at it, and he basically said this. If it costs me a game this year putting in the freshman, Harrison Bailey, right? Now, I don't know what Harrison Bailey looks like at practice every day, but this would be the time to do it, right? You're going into a bye week. You're going to start having practice. You can have more reps, and you can say, let's make the change. But you're playing Arkansas, and this is a game that you got to have if you're Jeremy Pruitt. The noise is going to get up another couple of notches on you if you drop this. So who gives you a better chance of winning the game? Harrison Bailey, a true freshman who hasn't had a lot of work, or Jared Garantano? Right, I guess the worst case would be you lose with Garantano, right? But I just think this is a really tough decision that you have to make. Because Floyd's point is, if it makes you better starting next year, it's worth having an extra loss or two this year. And Trevor said, but what if you don't get to a bowl game this year, right? Or what if your record looks bad in taking the lumps? He wouldn't go there. Floyd would, Trevor wouldn't. So what would you guys say?
Well, I would say Jeremy Pruitt just got a contract extension that we've talked about on the show a bunch, and he's not going
anywhere. That we all disagree with.
Yeah, and he's not going anywhere. I mean, Philip Fulmer's locked him up and said, you're the guy no matter what, and it doesn't matter if they drop the next three, and so they lose six in a row. I mean, he's not in trouble. He's not going anywhere. So He's given him the job security that he needed, right, for recruiting. That's what I guess that was the pitch. Hey, I need more job security. I need to let these recruits know I'm going to be around here for a while. That'll help us get more bigger recruits in here. Okay, you got that. It doesn't matter what they do the rest of the way. So there's no worry of that. So why not?
Well, and
that's how I would answer it.
And I agree with that, but here's the other factor. This is the weird year. This is the all SEC schedule year, and you can use that as a built-in excuse if you want to. Well, it's a harder schedule anyway. It'd be good to give him that type of experience. And, you know, who knows? You may not need 6 wins to go to a bowl. We may be able to go to a bowl game with 4 wins. Let's just go ahead and try it and see what happens. It's a weird year, so I think that's all the more reason. But I do agree with the thought process of, all right, this year is what it is. You've lost to Kentucky. You've got, you know, beat by Georgia and Alabama. So this year is what it is. Let's focus a little bit on next year. Let's get this guy. Let's get Bailey in there. Let's get him some reps. Let's let him go through the growing pains now. And then he's maybe a little bit more comfortable and had some of this experience when they start next season. I totally buy that. Because Garantano is what he is. He's not going to get you anywhere.
No, it's just it's been 5 years. Now he's just right. He's just a Band-Aid, right, to the future. That's it. I mean, he's better than the 2 backups that are older than the freshmen, Brian Maurer and JT Schrott. I mean, he's better than them. But like I said, they've already tried. And every time they put those guys in, they fail miserably, and he's right back in there. I mean, if they could do anything, they could stay in. They've tried to replace Garantano, and they can't do it because he's better than them. But what is this freshman? What is he? What is, you know, how good is he?
Don't you guys agree? It's a really tough dilemma. Now, because Trevor's side of the argument was Garantano – probably gives you the best chance with all his faults, right? Because for all his faults, they've only lost really 1 game that they should win on paper with him in there.
Correct.
Recently, right? During the winning streak, they did win 8 straight games. He was the quarterback in those games. I think we would agree that the 2 other guys, Maurer and Stroud, those guys aren't options, right? It's either you make the commitment to the freshman if you believe in him, Bailey, or you stick with Garantano. So if let's say, you know, in your mind, maybe I go 5-5 with Garantano going the rest of the way, right? Maybe he wins Arkansas, he beats Vanderbilt, and they win 1 of the 2, Auburn or Texas A&M, and they lose to Florida, and they go 5-5. What's my record? How does it change based on if you had Bailey in there? If you go 4-6 and Bailey's the guy, but you have Bailey have a half a season under his belt going into his sophomore year next year, how much is that worth?
If
you win 1 less game making the change.
I think at this point it doesn't need to be all about the record. It needs to be about the future. Because this team has – I mean, it's been the same for the last several years. They've been – I'm not going to say fully irrelevant, but they haven't been the program they need to be for a decade. And so now you have to find that guy at quarterback that can truly be that guy. And, you know, my question, to throw it back to you, would be if they don't believe in Harrison Bailey right now, why? Because don't you recruit a guy like that to be somebody that you do believe in, that you believe can be the guy? I mean, how many programs across the country do you see? They bring in the freshman, they start him right away, and it's because they know he's the guy. Why don't you know that? You know, why are you wasting time at this point with a fifth-year guy that, yeah, he's won him some games, he's had some good moments, but he's also had some really bad moments too. He's very up and down. He's inconsistent. So that's my whole thing.
So you would go with Bailey against Arkansas.
Yes, and I'm not worried about the record, and Vols fans shouldn't be worried about the record at this point either, because, yeah, you want to win the rest of your games, and you'd like to have a nice bowl game and be able to brag and say, yeah, it's all SEC year. I mean, we turned out to have a good record. Okay, but don't you care more about being in a position in the next couple of seasons to compete for the SEC, to possibly have a chance to play in the playoff for the first time in your history? Wouldn't you rather be back at that? And to me, starting that process now by building around a young quarterback is the right way to go.
All right, so Darren, then I have to be prepared for this. If I do that, right, I'm Jeremy Pruitt. Let's say you lose to Arkansas, which is unacceptable to many, right? Despite Arkansas being playing better.
Maybe coming into the season. I'm not sure so much now.
Right, but that won't stop a lot of people who have the momentum going against Pruitt anyway. I have to be prepared if I'm Pruitt to say, okay, we lost to Arkansas, but I needed to make a change. I got Harrison Bailey, a guy that we're really high on. I got him in there. I had to see what he could do. Does that look better than if you were to lose to Arkansas and Garantano is your quarterback?
It's a really good point.
I mean, how will he get some? Will he get
yes.
some
yes.
slack
That's
by
your
saying,
question.
"I played the freshman. Hey, we got to see if we can do better. This is a guy we think could be our future quarterback, and I had to see what he could do."
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, if they lose Arkansas with Garantano, you know what the storyline will be on Monday.
No
I
question.
Mean, you know that.
Of course, the other thing
it'll
is you have a bye week,
louder.
so you have time to give you have time to say we're committing. And this is what Vince's point was. He goes, if you divide the reps, then are you really going to come out ahead? Or this is your opportunity if you want to make
it.
The switch.
Yep.
Do it like with Tua and the Dolphins, right? We're going to insert him. He's going to get the first team reps, and we're just saying this is the time. We got to find out if this guy can play. Because he could announce it this week. He could prepare everybody now and say, we're going with the freshman. I don't think he'll do it because they'll want to keep it secret and all that stuff. But I think if there's ever a time to do it, this is the time. And you prepare
Agreed.
The fan base and say, you know what, we're going to get what we're going to get. Right? We only got this far with this guy. We want to see if this guy – this new freshman, Harrison Bailey, is a guy that we can count on to be our starter next year. Because if he's not, then you got to know that too, because mm-hmm. then you got to go find another guy. Right?
Would you rather know now?
Or you got to look for a transfer or somebody like that.
I mean, wouldn't you rather know now?
But if it costs you a bowl game.
Depends on what.
Even if it costs you a bowl game and your record is 4-6 instead of 5-5 or
that's
even worse.
That's the game.
I don't know.
Doesn't it just feel like Garantano's next loss, the decision will be made?
It depends on how good Harrison Bailey really is. We've been hearing a lot about this guy, but nobody's really seen him, right? Because they haven't had any spring football to where they could take a look at him. They didn't have a whole lot of scrimmages where people could watch him. He's had that's part of what Vince has been saying is they haven't – it's not like every year where you could find out more about a guy behind the scenes for a guy his age. He's very young. But as we know, it's not uncommon for true freshmen to come in there and play.
But you're right. He's not going to announce it. We won't know anything. But you do wonder what is going on behind the scenes, right? Is anything changed or is it business as usual?
In Garantano,
I don't see how it can be
and Garantano did make some really good throws against Alabama, right? That's the mystery with him is he can look really good for pieces of games.
And they lost by 31.
They lost by 31.
You know what I mean? Like that's got to be a tough pill to swallow. And I don't disagree with you. You're right. He wasn't. It's more or less he didn't hurt them, right? He didn't hurt them, but. At some point, there's got to be this, kind of like what we were talking about earlier in the week, there's got to be at least a feeling that there's a chance. And there was none of that on Saturday. There was none of this, stop here. It's going to be a different game, right? Nobody had that feeling.
Right.
It was what it was. It was what we expected it to be when Alabama came in as a 3-touchdown favorite. It was kind of a runaway the whole time. There was never that feel of, okay, stop here, or, man, if they could just get a big turnover right here, this would be a perfect spot to change everything, the complexion of this game. There was Never any of that, unless you guys remind me. I never had that feeling.
Oh, they definitely didn't. And they went as far as to say a lot of the people that cover the team, and I guess I wasn't thinking this as I was watching it, but going back, because I watched the game, there were those that said they played not to get blown out.
Yeah.
Right? They basically said, you know, let's make it so it's not 70 to 7.
I still say 31's pretty close to a blowout.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, the game was over at halftime. They did score and make it 28-10. You know, so they were respectable, right? Respectable, but nowhere close to winning. They were never going to win the game. Alabama was moving the ball at will, and Alabama, if there is a weakness, their defense hasn't been all that great, and they came up with 17.
Yep.
And it might have been a little closer for longer had they not given them a touchdown on the first play. One of the first plays of the second half. Right, the strip and score, that didn't help.
No, it did not. We will start the third hour of the show with Tim Hasselbeck. Our weekly chat with him next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.